Today on Seculo, our Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, acting as an agent of George Soros abroad. Our Senior Advisor for Foreign Policy and National Security, Rick Rennell, joins us to break it all down.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be connecting just shortly with our Senior Counsel for Foreign Affairs and National Security, Rick Grinnell. He is going to be joining us something special. We've got him now. Hey, Rick, how are you doing in Albania?
Jordan, I'm here in Tirana, Albania, and couldn't be happier to join my friends at ACLJ.
You've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. A little bit of the reason why you're in Albania. Explain to people, we talked about the Soros connection right off the top of the broadcast in the tease of the show. Everybody listens to us. They know that name. They know it means something going on. Tell people, and I know your blog walks through it too at ACLJ.org, what is going on in Albania?
Look, I hope people will take a look at this piece. It's pretty detailed. And I've grown increasingly concerned, Jordan, with Anthony Blinken and his family's support for George Soros. They have given a lot of money. There is actually the Blinken Center, named after our Secretary of State's parents, the Blinken Center at Open Society, which is George Soros' organization. That relationship is very tight, and it has produced our Secretary of State to put travel sanctions on the leader of the Conservative Party in Albania. Out of the blue, this came up. And when you look, and what I tried to detail is that the Conservative leader that we're talking about, Mr. Berisha, has been one of the most vocal critics of George Soros in the Balkans. And so here we have the critic of George Soros in the Balkans getting travel sanctions put on him by the Secretary of State. Now, Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York has been on this, and he has asked Secretary Blinken to produce the information that shows why U.S. sanctions should be put on the Conservative Party leader. Because I don't believe that anything was done that would rise to the level of putting U.S. sanctions on this individual. I was acting director of national intelligence. I concentrated on the Balkans. I never saw any information like this. And if he all of a sudden has new information, if Secretary of State Blinken has new information pointing to this, then he should come forward and show it, because right now it looks like he's manipulating the power of the State Department to help George Soros and his political opponents.
Yeah, George Soros' vision for Europe. And I know we've done some work. I'll talk to Andy in a second about our European Center for Law and Justice done extensive work on Soros' involvement in the international courts, because there's this former president, Rick, who comes from the conservative movement in Albania, has actually filed legal charges in Paris in a court there that this is a defamation. That this is a defamation of him, and of course, to kind, as you said, kind of produce what is it that has barred him and his family from being able to travel. He talks about that's usually reserved for the worst of the worst dictators and international actors who have violated very egregious international law.
Mr. Berisha, who is the former president of Albania, was welcomed guest of President Bush and President H.W. And now the Paris courts have taken up this case to look at it. Secretary Blinken has to answer in the French courts for what he's done.
All right, we're going to come back with Rick to talk about this a little bit more and get into more of that Soros angle as well, that impact. Talk about Soros sometimes in the United States. I think where we forget is the huge impact Soros has internationally. Now, what do you think? Rick is joining us live from Albania right now. We have him on our team because of your support for the ACLJ. This is a matching challenge month. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Something very unique, and that is Rick Rennell is joining us live from Albania, a member of our team, a senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. Rick, we talked about the specifics behind kind of your reason Albania, your blog up at aclj.org, and it's that Soros involvement. I wanted you to repeat again, because I think this is so important, because we've done a lot of work through our European Center for Law and Justice in how Soros was basically picking and choosing the judges of all the different international courts and tribunals. So the influence there, which sometimes is on a much larger scale than even inside the United States, or is just not discussed inside the United States. So we've done that work, but what is George Soros interested in doing in a country like Albania?
Well, first of all, I think, George Soros gets to do what he wants, right? And we can disagree with him politically and try to combat what he's doing, but he has every right to do all of this. What he doesn't have a right to do is control the Secretary of State in a way that is not transparent and in a way that is manipulating the power of the State Department and travel sanctions. I think this is a big scandal because our Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, has pulled the levers of power at the State Department to bar a former president, the leader of the Albanian Conservative Party, Mr. Berisha. He's barred from coming into the United States. Now, I can just say this unequivocally. I have never seen any evidence that shows that he should be barred from traveling to the United States, which is a very big sanction. And if this information exists, if it's new, then the Secretary of State needs to come clean, respond to Lee Zeldin, Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York's request to see the information. He can show me the information and I will back down. I will stop criticizing this decision if he comes clean and is transparent. But the reality is I don't believe him. And it's because that his family has a decades-long tie, financial tie, with the Soros Open Society.
That's what I want to point out, Rick. Center, Rick, they've got data. This family, Blinken's parents have a foundation within, or a tell people. I just wanted you to repeat that. Is it the first segment because it shows the personal ties to Blinken and Soros through this financial giving.
Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State's parents, have funded the Blinken Center for Data at the Open Society. They've given so much money to George Soros that the Center for Data is all about the Blinkens. It's named after the Blinkens. They are in charge. And that relationship creates some questions. First of all, I haven't seen our media, Jordan, report the fact that our Secretary of State's family is completely financially tied in with George Soros.
That's the first time I've heard about it.
And let me just say, on my piece at ACLJ.org, I show how the former president of Albania has been critical of George Soros and therefore is getting this pushback from our Secretary of State, I believe at the request of George Soros.
You know, Rick, we appreciate you joining us from Albania. I know you're on a different time schedule and to join us for a couple of these segments of the broadcast. Your new piece up at ACLJ.org, Blinken acts as agent of George Soros of the Balkans. Rick, thanks for being with us today from not halfway around the world, but pretty far. And it's great for our audience to see that, to see the scope of the work that's going on at the ACLJ. Thanks, Rick. Let me go to Andy right away, because Andy, you oversee a lot of our office overseas in our office in Strasbourg, France. They did a significant report that they've been working on for years that they ultimately released on the influence of George Soros and the international courts, which were active in through whether it's the Court of Human Rights or the International Criminal Court and other various criminal and court bodies and that are through these international institutions, organizations, and organs.
That's true. Absolutely correct, Jordan. I am the liaison between the American Center for Law and Justice in the United States and our European counterpart, the European Center for Law and Justice, the ECLJ, which is headquartered in Strasbourg, France. And we're in Strasbourg not by accident. We're there because that's where the European Court of Human Rights sits. And what we have been doing here recently is exposing the influence that George Soros has, as you said, on the judges who are selected to sit on cases that are heard by the ECHR, the European Court of Human Rights. These judges have very slippery rules about withdrawing, that is, recusing themselves from cases that they hear. And we have exposed the fact that many of these judges have been part of non-governmental organizations and other sympathetic left-wing, liberal, leftist groups that have been funded by Soros. Soros sees that they get on the court, they get elected to hear cases, selected, I should say, to hear cases on the court. They don't withdraw, they don't recuse themselves, and they come out with decisions that you can imagine are pro-leftist and pro-George Soros, and it is an alarming thing. We have now made it known politically throughout Europe, through the work of the ECLJ, of the influence that Soros has on the judges of that court, both past and present judges of that court, and we are pressing them to expose their ties to the Soros organization, just as Ambassador Grinnell has shown that the Blinken family is very much a part of the Soros organization and their partners in ideology of the left.
You know, Harry, we've talked a lot about these influential individuals, whether it's countries like China and their programs in academia. It's very similar in the Soros world. You get benign names, open society. They sound like they kind of be neutral, arbiters of information, pro-democracy, if you will. Nice titles. But now that it's kind of had time to really flush out who they are. They are hard leftist. And Soros, and really the individuals behind him, is like Rick said, he's got the right to fund it and the right to do it as long as they're following the laws of these different countries. But they exert maximum influence through this billionaire.
Absolutely. So if you look at the open society generally, and if you go back to the 1990s and the 1980s in Europe, the open society was widespread. Indeed, in Great Britain, there is something called the Open Society University. But you should recognize that the open society constitutes a bait and switch effort by leftists. It is essentially a Trojan horse by pro-communists who believe in a world controlled by totalitarian experts. And so here we have an outrageous move by Secretary of State Blinken to interfere with the nation state of Albania It represents a globalist effort that has been 40 to 50 years in the making, and it has been largely advanced by George Soros. And so I think the American people should be energized to oppose the Biden administration's effort to support effectively pro-communism as opposed to a democracy. And so, generally speaking, these globalists within the Biden administration, they prefer so-called former communists to anti-communists. So in this particular case, you have a conservative who opposes the Soros-led effort to dominate Albania and much of Central Europe, and I think the American people should be concerned.
You know what, folks, I just want you to understand kind of the show today, which I think shows the depth of the ACLJ on this Monday. You know, we're going to get into some of the infrastructure as well. Remember, that is different from the reconciliation that includes the IRS money and may include that looking into your bank account. Right, it's not right now. And we'll get more into that tomorrow. But, you know, we'll get into some of the infrastructure later in the broadcast. But coming up, we've got Abby Sutherland, a senior attorney with the ACLJ. Advocate. Now, we were just talking about Albania, our European Center for Law and Justice, the influence of George Soros on international institutions and courts. We had Rick Grinnell, former acting director of National Intelligence, joining us live via Zoom and being able to be on the broadcast while he is in Albania dealing with issues like that. We have coming up later in the broadcast former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. But next, core ACLJ issue. Protecting a realtor in Colorado. You won't believe what they have been told must come down. It's got to go from your advertisements. Yes, it's a religious symbol. If you're doing a guessing, it might be a cross. But we're representing that individual. So while the ACLJ and our European Surf Law and Justice, we can talk and we have the experts like Rick, like Harry, like Andy, like Secretary Pompeo, like Attorney General Ashcroft, all these different individuals that can come join in. We also, the core of the ACLJ, represent when you need help. When your First Amendment rights are in jeopardy, whether on a broad scale, whether it's very individual, like the case we'll be talking about coming up out from out west with Abby. These situations, again, we're able to handle for people at no cost because of your financial support to the ACLJ. Your financial support's why we have Rick Grinnell a part of the team, why we've got Pompeo part of the team, but it's also why we can do these cases at no cost. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. Donate online, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. As I was just saying, you know, we can talk about these big international issues, and we do, and we've got, you know, Rick Rennell is coming in live from Albania to join us on the broadcast. He's got a new piece up on ACLJ.org on how Blinken is acting as an agent of George Soros in the Balkans. Some shocking information there, too, about Blinken's family ties, that there's actually like a Blinken center at one of the open society foundations that is funded by George Soros, so very close family connections there. You definitely want to check that piece out at ACLJ.org. But I said, you know, we still are always doing our core work at the ACLJ, and that's about representing you when you feel like your constitutional rights are violated, and, of course, at no cost to you. That's why we are a nonprofit organization that's able to do that because of our donors that support the work of the ACLJ and make sure that those who need us can utilize us when that time comes. And we're joined by our senior counsel, Abby Sutherland. That came for a realtor out west, Abby. It is, to me, you know, we can kind of get used to these cases, but it's always a little bit shocking because in this case, I kind of tease people, what was it in their advertising? What was it in there that was so upsetting to everybody? And of course, it happens to be a cross. Tell people what happened here.
That's right, Jordan. An experienced and longtime realtor reached out to us. He regularly uses a logo from the Christian Real Estate Network, CREN, and that logo contains, it's a house with a cross inside the home. And so he's signaling to people that in addition to all the other licenses he holds, he's also a part of the Christian Realtor Network. You know, legal, we have a similar one, Christian Legal Society. Every profession has all kinds of referral networks. So he was notified by local regulations, a local regulating board, that they deemed that to be a problem, that they did not like the cross, that they were concerned that it was discriminatory and violated the code of ethics for the National Association of Realtors, which is the overall governing board for realtors in the U.S.
Where have we, so he contacts us, he's gotten this contact from a local real estate commission saying he's violating the National Association of Realtors, he's violating their anti-discrimination policy and the Fair Housing Act. So what did we do next?
So we reviewed the policy, the code of ethics. We also pulled some federal law because we knew that federal law was clearly on our side. In fact, there's longstanding case precedent that finds that there's nothing wrong with realtors using Christian content in their advertising, such as a cross or a Bible verse or that sort of thing. So we prepared a letter to NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and we explained the current state of the law, that there had been numerous cases that had actually found that it was perfectly okay to use Christian symbols, that it did not implicate any concerns with regards to discrimination. Simply because you use a cross doesn't mean you are going to discriminate against anyone based on race or religion or any other protected class. We also analyzed NAR's policy specifically and then asked them for a determination, asked them to go ahead and give us a determination so that we could determine whether we needed to take further legal action against NAR.
So that's been sent now. So it started out locally. We decided to go to the national group because that's where the local group was relying on. How much time do they have to respond, Abby, in general?
I think we gave the National Association of Realtors approximately 21 to 30 days to respond. And they did. They responded to let us know that they did not intend to apply the policy in a manner that would prohibit realtors from using religious symbols. And they also indicated that, however, the local board can interpret that policy differently. So at that point, we contacted the local board as well, sent a similar letter, and asked for their determination.
Okay, so it went. So the national said, hey, this is not an issue with us, but the local boards could actually reinterpret. I mean, that doesn't sound exactly 100% of how things usually work when you have national and local, but maybe they have those kind of divisions. So now they pointed us back and said, deal with this with the ones who filed the complaint initially, made the complaint initially.
That's right. So we did, and so far there's been no formal response to our letter. However, our client has actually received communications that indicates that they won't take this any further. They are dropping any issue or challenge that they raise with regards to use of the Christian symbol.
So I know for on our perspective, before we declare total, you know, victory here, we always want to see that in writing. But that is great news, Abby, that already, I mean, having to jump back and forth between the local association to the national association, then back to the local association, they've made the oral communication. We're waiting for that written communication. But I think it's a great example, Abby, because I know you work on a lot of these cases. We try to focus on as many as we can on the broadcast. But this is core work that the ACLJ does. I think it's important for everybody to know that.
Yeah, and it's important that he didn't just cave and remove the symbol altogether out of fear that he would, you know, be challenged or that a formal complaint would be filed against him, and instead reached out to us.
Abby, thanks so much for joining us, for sharing this update. I know we'll get more online at aclj.org once this is finalized, but in a sense, folks, it's moving towards just one of those, another ACLJ victory for what is right under their First Amendment. I think, you know, I see this this kind of work, and Harry, to me, it just underscores that idea that, like Abby said, so many of our cases, it was that one person who said, you know what, I'm not just going to do the easy thing, which would be to scrub this off my website or off future printings and say, okay, I won't use this anymore in the future. I'm going to actually call this ACLJ. Now, I know it's not going to cost me resources, but I am willing to fight. And so we kind of help you get halfway there by not cost to these clients, but they still have to be willing to put themselves out there in the fight. It's like we talk about these people running for school board. They put themselves out there in the fight, and these individuals then get high-powered attorneys with a lot of experience who can handle their matter for them.
I think that's correct, and you have, in particular, emphasized the necessity of entering into the fight, because if you don't enter into the fight, then you are guaranteed to lose. And so I hope that our listeners are encouraged, number one, and then I hope that we can continue our work fighting for the American people and their rights pursuant to the Constitution and the rule of law.
You know, when we come back, we're going to get more into all these issues. We're also going to be joined in the later part of the second half hour with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I would like to get some of your calls in, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110, because the critical time, if you've got questions about infrastructure, if you have questions about what happens next in Washington, if you've got questions about the what we discussed with the Soros involvement, both in Europe and inside the United States, 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call to be part of the show today. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me just encourage so many of you. You'll hear this through the month of November, and especially at certain days. You know, when we can go back and forth between live reports with video from Albania, with the former acting director of national intelligence and former ambassador to Germany, on the one hand. On the other hand, then the later part of the show, we're going to have the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. In between there, we're talking to our senior counsels and our team on radio about just a core ACLJ case. This show is a great example of the scope of the work that we do and our team does every single day at the American Center for Law and Justice and around the world. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. Be part of our matching challenge. Month of November. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we've covered Albania. We have covered the Balkans. We've covered a lot of the work that the Europeans do for law and justice, all as it relates to George Soros and this influence he is trying to assert. And as Rick Grinnell said, you know, it's not that he doesn't have a right to do that as long as he's following the rules, but that, you know, we need to counter that, expose that. And of course, sometimes it does cross the line. I mean, when every judge, and we were going through that through the European Court of Human Rights, and they were looking at so many of these judges, such a high percentage were directly related to Soros. You can kind of see where the outcomes were going to be because they were all connected to this singular source. Then you have our current Secretary of State, whose family is directly connected to Soros through financial ties, through supporting the Soros Open Society Foundation, and having this Blinken Center there. So that's Tony Blinken's parents. And the former Secretary of State will be joining us next segment of the broadcast. You also heard from Abby Sutherland about a case out west. A realtor, part of a Christian Realtors Society, has a cross on that logo, puts that as part of their business card or advertisements, a number of associations they're a part of. The local National Association of Realtors said, take it down. That violates our rules. It offends everybody. And the National Association we went to first said, that's not our position, but the local group can have a separate position. So we're back to the local group. They have orally communicated to our client that they are not taking this any further. They're not going to sanction or say, you know, you've got to be take this off or else we'll take you off our website or not let you be part of our association and your credentials be in trouble. But we are waiting for that in writing to, you know, declare formal victory there. We also have a lot of cases on life. You know, the Supreme Court last week hearing the case out of Texas, that unique challenge to a law that was a, you know, civil penalty enforced by private actors. We've got a case out of South Dakota involving informed consent there that'll be in the circuit courts. We are representing the state of South Dakota there. Then we've also got a case. We've got the Dobbs case up December 1st at the Supreme Court on a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. We're also working on one, and you might see it in your email today at ACLJ, your ACLJ email today. We are fighting a case. It has been, again, one that has been difficult to say the least because you're up against an abortion giant behemoth, and that case involves an individual who was sued by Planned Parenthood because the videos that were produced exposing their sale of fetal body parts, et cetera. Multi-million dollar judgment against these individuals. These are activists. Multi-million dollar judgments. We believe that there's a lack of basis that this was somehow RICO and organized, you know, racketeering. And somehow that's, you know, the laws they use to take down the mob. That there's a violation of the First Amendment rights as an activist type client. Lack of evidence to support a conspiracy verdict. But multi-million dollar verdicts get entered in against these activists. You know what that does to speech? Do you know how what that does to the pro-life movement when they see that, oh, if you go too far in exposing what Planned Parenthood really does, they'll come back and try to financially ruin you? So we're representing a client there. So there's so many different aspects to that battle. I think I just explained. I mean, you got the challenges to things like Roe versus Wade. You have informed consent laws like out of South Dakota that we ACLJ directly representing South Dakota and Governor Noem in that challenge. But then there's also how personally Planned Parenthood tries to pick off the activists they don't like and try to saddle them with millions and millions of dollars of financial penalties through court. We're working on that as well at the ACLJ. In fact, you'll be able to read about that at ACLJ.org soon. I don't think the blog it's not up yet, but it will be on later this week. And I think when you read that, you realize who you're really fighting against. It's not just an idea. Or that this group, when you talk about $1 billion a year organization, they throw that weight around and try to silence even the individuals who are the elite, who are kind of the frontline activists in the pro-life movement. We come back. We'll take more of your phone calls, more of your thoughts on infrastructure as well before we talk to Secretary Pompeo. 1-800-684-3110. Support our work. Double the impact of your donation. Donate at ACLJ.org the entire month of November.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secchi. I want to take a call on what Rick was talking about in Albania first, because I think it's important to take that. Then we're going to get into infrastructure. Next segment, we'll be joined live by Secretary Pompeo. Christy in Florida, online one. Hey, Christy, welcome to Secchi. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your program, by the way, and I do support you. My question is when you and Rick were talking and the other man about what they're doing in Albania, what Blinken is doing to support George Soros, it wasn't really clear, like, what action is he taking to promote communism over there on behalf of George Soros? And just an FYI, in 2004, I saw, because I watched George Soros for a long time and have feared him constantly, but in 2004, I think he was interviewed in France. And it was about the UN, and he basically stated he should be the president of the UN and he should have his own armed force. He stated that right there on this interview in Europe. I was like in shock. But
yeah, well, this is why he makes everyone extremely nervous on the international stage, unless you're part of the trough that feeds out of his the money and the resources he has. So what happened in Albania specifically, I think Harry was talking about it too, is that you had this conservative leader there. President, he is a former president. He had been met with presidents, both President Bush's. So he'd been to the U.S. before as a guest of presidents. And then, as being a former president, he gets put on as a person non grata. That means he and his family cannot travel to the U.S. They're barred from entry to the U.S. I'm sure there's other provisions that go along with that. Thus, what that does, Harry, that is, it gives fuel to the hard left in places like Albania, which again are more friendly to and probably accepting a lot of the Soros money.
I think that's precisely correct, and I think your analysis is excellent, and so you can look by analogy to what's going on in Hungary as well. The current president, for instance, of Hungary is a conservative, but he was initially supported by George Soros. So essentially George Soros wants to assume leadership of the world. George Soros supports a form of, for lack of a better term, soft totalitarianism, which is grounded in left-wing ideology. It bleeds into, for instance, the MOVE, which supports climate change, and a number of other efforts which are led by elites throughout the United States and Europe. And so I think at the end of the day, this move to bar the former president of Albania from coming to the United States is very, very consistent with what Ryszard Legutko, a Polish writer, has suggested, which is that if you oppose communism, you will then be opposed by the so-called open society globalist experts like Tony Blinken. On the other hand, if you were a former communist and you still sub silento support communism, then you will be in fact honored. And so we have this situation in the United States where Christians and conservatives are opposed by so-called liberal institutions. But if you are actually an authoritarian leader, they love the money, and they're getting tons of money from China and from George Soros. Why? Because they have a singular vision to dominate the world and to control each and every aspect of our lives through either political force, military power, or mandates that may or may not be constitutional.
So let me switch over, because I think Harry, again, handled that extremely well and answered that question. I know when we get into some of these international topics, you try to bring up George Soros, so many different doors, as his open doors, as I said, so many different doors you can open with that discussion. But you know, I want to get into infrastructure as well, Andy, to also make people understand, one, the parade of horribles, the $80 billion to the IRS, the 87,000 new IRS agents. That wasn't included here. That would be in the reconciliation of that rule about trying to get into your bank account. That is not what passed. What passed here was something that passed the Senate like a couple months ago. It was somewhat bipartisan. In fact, I think that there were, was it 13 in the Senate and or 19 in the Senate, 13 in the House. So, somewhat bipartisan there. But, you know, one of the issues, Andy, is not so much that this one does tackle roads and bridges and public transit. Yes, it gets into some electric vehicle stuff, which I think we can question. But internet access, things that people actually have talked about, airports, water, wastewater, the real kind of infrastructure. It's given a boost to the president, no doubt, to be able to get this passed. And now we get to the real battle, Andy, which is what they can get through reconciliation.
Well, that's exactly right. Your analysis is perfectly correct. It's too bad for Joe Biden's candidate, McAuliffe, in Virginia, that this bill wasn't passed before the election, because he might have survived and he had something to run on, but he didn't have anything to run on. So he lost, as did almost the Democrat governor in New Jersey. But you're correct, Jordan. But you have to take this bill apart and unpack this infrastructure bill. It's a $1 trillion plus bill. And what the Congressional Budget Office has said, and that's a neutral, nonpartisan analytical institution, is that over a period of 10 years, this is going to create a budget deficit of $256 billion in the United States. How are we going to overcome that? What are we going to do that? What are the revenue sources going to be? Where are they going to come from? Those questions still remain unanswered. There's talk about COVID relief money that's been left over that can be used for that. State money that was going to be used for Medicaid repatriation could be used for that. But that's just a drop in the bucket. How are we going to be able to cover this deficit? And that is the thing that Republicans were so concerned about and those who opposed this. It was bipartisan, Jordan, you might say, the vote, but it was bipartisan in name only. It was overwhelmingly opposed by the conservatives and by the Republicans, and what remains to be seen is the fight that's next going to come over the social activities bill that's going to be equally big, if not bigger, and how that's going to impact our lives. And that's really going to impact our lives in a significant fashion, especially if the IRS gets to snoop into transactions that we engage in and where our money is spent.
Right, because of that, you've got the IRS snooping, you've got a potential for that, and the potential for basically a rearmed IRS, I guess I would say, like with 80,000 plus new agents and $80 billion plus new dollars to spend. I mean, it's kind of like just rearming them for battle against Americans, by the way. And then, Of course, there was a faith-based, there is included in the current reconciliation talks, a ban on faith-based daycare providers and preschools. Maybe they want to do that universal pre-K. But if you are related to a faith organization, those resources won't be available for you. Now, it doesn't say that if you're a private institution, the resources won't be available for you, or but specifically if you are religious in nature. We have been, you know, winning those cases before. Now, that's not passed yet, but it's that's there. And basically the Green New Deal is inside that package. But, Harry, I think what we know is that while I think that and we'll talk about it more with Than Bennett. Than's out today on Capitol Hill, kind of getting a sense for everybody on the infrastructure bill that did pass and will be signed. You know, will be signed by the president, and what we need to watch out for in there and potentially challenge legally, and then where things go with the bigger reconciliation package, which I still think is very uphill, because the early talk of this was the progressives would try to vote down infrastructure if it wasn't tied to the same-day voting. Ends up, I think only six progressives did out of their, so they call it like 55-member caucus. So they bought into the Pelosi idea. The question is, what happens next with reconciliation? It's a harder climb, especially in the U.S. Senate.
I think that is true, and there are several things that listeners should watch out for with respect to the so-called reconciliation bill. The reconciliation bill, number one, is a device designed to empower leftists. So I think you pointed out the provisions involving the IRS and taxes. There's also a massive giveaway to the so-called climate change lobby. There is also hidden within the confines of that bill a huge vaccine mandate. There's discrimination against religious institutions. And at the end of the day, if the reconciliation bill passes, all Americans will be poorer and they will be less free.
You know, folks, we're going to be on top of this. That's why Than is in meetings now, so we get tomorrow and really kind of get a sense of exactly where we are in the battle against what we need to be looking at that did pass in the infrastructure bill that really isn't the infrastructure, and then what's in this reconciliation bill. Still, you know, where is it? Is it moving? And what parts are still moving that we need to make sure have no chance of ever becoming law of the land? We come back. We're going to be joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. News out of China. Again, more aggressive acts by China. I can't believe all that we've covered already in the broadcast today in just not even an hour yet. But we're going to do that coming up in the final segment of the broadcast. Remember, our matching challenge, double the impact your donation at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secchio, talking about Chinese aggression and the aggressive steps we continue to see by China internationally, but also by their military and their military training. We're joined right now by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Secretary Pompeo, let's get right to it here. We've got images that have been uncovered out of a desert in China that's been used for military testing before of weapons, and what we see in these images are direct images of what is the outline of a U.S. aircraft carrier, as well as two U.S. destroyers that we would assume they are utilizing to figure out how they would attack via air.
You know, Jordan, some of this is propaganda. That is the reason these images get out, is they want to create this narrative. But it also demonstrates an incredible capability and an intent. And those are the things we need to stare at when we're trying to think about how to confront the Chinese Communist Party. We need to make sure we understand that. And I hear folks say all the time, especially from the left and from the salons in Europe, that we don't want to go to war with China. Well, the best way to prevent a hot war with the Chinese Communist Party is to establish deterrence, to do the things you need to do to make sure that the Chinese Communist Party knows that it will be incredibly costly if they take actions that are adverse to the interests of the United States and of Europe and of the West. Capitals like Tokyo and Canberra need to do their part to establish in the minds of the Chinese Communist Party the resolve of the West to protect ourselves from Xi Jinping and his communist thugs.
And when you add this to the fact of the aggression already they're showing towards Taiwan, I mean, whether it's actual aggression, you know, the most aircraft we've ever seen in Taiwanese airspace. So we had one of the Taiwanese leaders confirmed that there were U.S. troops there on the ground training, which is not a bad thing. But it just seems like with everything, whether China's mocking us at the world stage, whether it's COVID-19 and not allowing the World Health Organization back in, or any other inspectors back in to try to figure everything out, to how culpable they might have been, or even if it was negligence to the level of criminal negligence, but they're not allowing those inspectors in. And they've also taken aggressive steps, not just in target runs, but of our allies like Taiwan that we've got defense agreements with.
Jordan, this is very serious. It's why the administration that I served in began to confront them in ways that were material and important to convince Xi Jinping that he needed to change course. For 40 years, Jordan, America turned the other cheek. We watched them steal our intellectual property. They were operating a massive spy ring from the Chinese consulate in Houston. I made the decision to close that down. President Trump supported that decision. We challenged the Chinese Communist Party in every venue, whether it was the stealing of our technology, the use of technology inside the United States to spy on the American people. We made clear our support for the people of Taiwan. We worked for the freedom fighters in Hong Kong. Every place that Xi Jinping continued to move aggressively, the Trump administration responded. I think they see the weakness in the Biden administration. I think they saw what happened in Afghanistan. They see the Iranians now moving in the Middle East in ways they didn't dare do when President Trump and I were serving. And I think Xi Jinping may well believe that this is his window. This is his moment to actually execute on the vision he has for a one world. And he'll begin with places like the islands of Taiwan.
I read an article, I'm not sure which publication it was, but it's respected and on international affairs. It was just talking about the idea that he's no longer showing up at a lot of these international events, the Chinese president. They said kind of feel the pressure to go and at least shake the hands and not to disturb the other leaders, but that was also a sign of how, now you can look at that two ways. When a world leader doesn't leave their country, you can think, is that because it's too dangerous to leave their country or their power struggle? But in his case, what they're saying is it's because it's a show of strength. I don't need to go actually shake your hands. I don't need to be in the same room with Joe Biden, President Biden, or other world leaders. I'm above that now.
Jordan, it's hard to know. It could be either. It could actually be both. that he feels threatened at home but emboldened abroad. And those often go hand in hand, Jordan. You'll see leaders that use this external effort to bolster their political strength back home. The fact that he didn't show up in Glasgow for the work that was being done on climate change tells you exactly how China is going to behave with respect to carbon. They're going to pollute. They're going to put carbon in the air. They don't give a darn what anybody else in the world does. They are using their economic might around the world to tell every country that America is in decline and America is weak, and you should stand with us versus the Americans because we're the strong horse. This is something that could cause our children, Jordan, to live in a society that looks much more like theirs than ours. We cannot let this happen. America's plenty strong enough to push back against us. It just takes American resolve, leadership, force structure to understand that our military has to be strong, and we have to develop the tools and weapon systems, both physical hardware and software, to push back against them. I've not seen much evidence of that from this administration. I pray that they begin to get this right.
Yeah, final question for you, Secretary Pompeo, is just that, is that, you know, it can seem overwhelming. We talk about this a lot when it comes to China. It's, you know, what would be the first two or three things that need to be done to get them under some kind of, back to either respecting the United States or at least feel like they can't do whatever they want globally or at home domestically? I mean, what steps could be taken by even an administration like this to show those signals?
I would start the place the Chinese Communist Party started on economic issues. I would use the power of the West, India, Australia, Japan, South Korea, Europe, the United States. They make up 3/4 of the world's GDP. I would begin to create ties amongst those nations that developed economic outcomes to put real pressure on the Chinese Communist Party. China is dependent on the world more than the world is dependent on China. They have almost no internal capacity for energy production, for example. We can put real pressure on the Chinese Communist Party using our economic power and force them to conform to the world's standards. We must do that, and then we have to show true strength. Ronald Reagan knew this. President Trump knew this. We have to deliver the peace that we all want. The prosperity that we all want comes from American and Western strength and not through appeasement and some idea that somehow if you treat them nicely or you invite them to the right venues, the right international organizations, that somehow Xi Jinping will change his stripes. That's just not in the cards.
Secretary Pompeo, is always great to have you on the team as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. And folks, this is again, this show in a nutshell, really, in 1 hour, and I've got a minute left to talk to you, but in 1 hour, we went from Albania, live with Rick Rinnell, the former Acting Director of National Intelligence, former Ambassador to Germany, got into the issues with Soros there, and also what the European Center for Law and Justice is doing to combat the Soros influence on international courts, specifically the International Court of Human Rights. He did an excellent expose on that at the European Center for Law and Justice. Then we moved to a domestic case, core ACLJ case, a Christian realtor we're representing. I was told, take that cross off your advertisements, your Christian Realtors Association that has the cross in their symbol. And we're fighting that. They've got the oral okay that everything is good. We're just waiting for the written okay to say, you know, that group was in the wrong, that our client was right, and to vindicate that and to declare victory there. We always wait till we get it in writing, the ACLJ. But then we went to Secretary Pompeo, to the Chinese aggression by what they're doing militarily, internally, specifically targeting how to target a U.S. ship or a U.S. aircraft carrier or destroyer. And of course, in the midst of that, infrastructure as well, which we're going to get into more tomorrow with our Director of Government Affairs. Support the work of the ACLJ. We do all of this because of your financial support. Donate today, ACLJ.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.